This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه. ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected listeners, dear sisters, brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you once again to our daily discussion and my daily discourse on the topic of family and social disputes, family conflicts, their causes and solutions. Over the past few days and the last weeks and during the month of Ramadan, we have been discussing this topic in great detail and in great length. And I have discussed with you seven major causes for family disputes. Seven major causes for family disputes. And the solutions as well have been discussed. And today we will, inshallah, discuss cause number 8. But before I do that, if I just recap briefly. I mean, the first couple of days of the month of Ramadan, I discussed with you the importance of maintaining family ties, the importance of kinship, the importance of building these bloodship bonds and maintaining good relationship with others, avoiding argumentation, fighting, quarrel and disputes and all of that, especially within the family. And then I discussed the causes that contribute to problems within the family, causes that contribute to argumentation and conflicts and disputes within the family. The first major cause and reason was that we have incorrect intentions. When we are maintaining ties, when we are interacting with our family members, then we have the wrong intention. It's not for the sake of Allah. It's for to be appreciated, etc., etc. So I discussed that in detail, and the remedy and the solution was to make our intention sincere. Number two, the lack of purified hearts within ourselves, diseased hearts. In other words, we having all these spiritual diseases in our hearts in terms of jealousy and hatred and enmity and pride and arrogance and all of those things that contribute to the disputes that we find ourselves in. And the remedy for that was tazkiyatul qalb, purification of the heart and purification of the soul. Cause number three, monetary issues, financial dealings, financial matters. And I talked about that in great detail. Talked about aspects relating to the debt and taking a debt and credit transactions and clarifying ownership and dealings within, especially within the family, inheritance issues. Number four, the fourth major cause of family disputes that I discussed, I think 2-3 weeks ago, uncontrolled usage of one's tongue without thinking. We just open our mouths and use our tongues in any way, shape or form that we like. So the ilaj, the solution was preservation of the tongue. Number five, being selfish, being self-centered. And the remedy for that was ithar, which was being, you know, having the quality of giving preference to other people. So that was a solution to avoid family disputes. Number six was anger, ghadab, and the remedy, the solution is as-sabr, patience, and swallowing and controlling one's anger. Number seven, seventh major or main reason for family disputes or main cause, misunderstandings, misconceptions, things not being clear. Remedy, verification. And this was based on the verse of Surah Al-Hujurat. And we go on from here to cause number 8 today. If you remember, when I started mentioning last week the cause number 7, I mentioned that the next 3, 7, 8 and 9 are taken, which I am taking and extracting and deriving and deducing from an amazing surah of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Hujurat. Hujurat, plural of hujratun in Arabic, which means the chamber, the rooms, the private chambers. Surah Al-Hujurat has some amazing and unique verses in the Quran. It starts off with certain etiquettes and adab that we must show and have with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain etiquettes and certain guidelines, certain procedures that deal with our mutual interaction, etiquettes and adab amongst ourselves, in order that we, as a family, as a community, as a society, we live a life of peace, tranquility, have harmony in our life, and we avoid all these conflicts and problems and disputes and argumentation. And these are some basic etiquettes. And the first verse was Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in ja'akum, not the first verse of the surah, but the first verse that I talked about, which was concerning the cause number 7, misunderstandings. A lot of the problems and disputes that we find ourselves in occur because of misunderstandings. So that was based on the verse يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And I discussed that particular verse in detail on Thursday, previous week, that misunderstandings and acting upon our misunderstandings and acting upon some information and saying something or doing something based on certain misunderstandings that take place is a major contributor to family disputes. Solution was tabyin. Allah says fatabayyanu, verify, make sure that which is being related to you, someone said something about someone, is actually correct. So verify the authenticity and the correctness of these reports or statements or news that come to you. Anyway, that was number 7. Now, the next verse in the Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some more guidelines, right? Some more guidelines. And I'm going to talk about the next point, which is in Surah Al-Hujurat. And that is our cause number 8 for family disputes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and Creator, in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse number 12, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٍ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. 3 more guidelines or commands. 3 more commands. 3 more guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in this particular surah. Cause number 7 of family disputes that we talked about, that's already been mentioned. إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Verification. Now in this verse, Surah Al-Hujurat verse 12, Allah says, O you who believe, اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Avoid. اِجْتَنِبُوا. Avoid. Avoid much suspicion. الظَّنِّ. اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Avoid much suspicion. Why? He says, إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Reason being is because most of suspicion is sin. Majority of it is sinful. Much suspicion is sinful. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. So that's the first command. And that's our cause number 8 today. I'm not going to go into وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. But the next, I'll just finish off, complete the translation so you know what cause number 9 is. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy. Do not let تجسسوا, do not become a jasus, do not spy on people. ولا تجسسوا. And then Allah says, ولا يغتب بعضكم بعض. Do not backbite. That's not going to be one of the causes that I'm going to discuss, because I've already covered backbiting when we talked about using our tongues. So anyway, In this verse, the first part of the verse is, Ijtanibu, O you who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and our Creator is addressing me and addressing you. He's not addressing anyone else. He's addressing us, Muslims. He says, O you who believe, Ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhan, avoid much suspicion. بعض الظن إثم, because much of suspicion or some part of suspicion is sinful. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering us, commanding us, brothers and sisters, to avoid suspicion. Dhan in Arabic means having a thought about someone. Dhan. Dhanna yadhunnu means a thought about someone. And you can have a good thought about someone, and you can have a bad opinion and bad thought about someone. And therefore, good opinion and good thought and positive thought about people is considered to be, is called husnul dhan. And bad opinion about people and negative thoughts about people, that is termed as su'ul dhan. So we have husnul dhan and we have su'ul dhan. We have husnul dhan and we have su'ul dhan. Good opinion and bad opinion. Good positive thoughts, bad negative thoughts. Now in this verse Allah is saying avoid much suspicion because some suspicion is sinful. The sinful suspicion is bad suspicion, bad opinion about people. That's sinful, right? And that's our major cause, our eighth cause, one of the major reasons for family disputes. Su'ud-dhan, bad opinion about other people without any facts and without any figures and without any concrete evidence. Bad opinion. Su'ud-dhan. Negative thoughts about people. Negative thoughts. Bad opinion about others. Baseless assumptions. Baseless assumptions. We assume and we presume and we assume things about people. He may be like this. She is maybe like this. She probably said this. He probably said that. She probably is guilty of that. He probably is guilty and is guilty of this particular crime. Unfortunately, our societies are filled with these, assumptions. We allow conjecture to come into our hearts without any facts. It's a sinful activity, brothers and sisters, especially about those who are outwardly righteous. Seriously, Islamically, those who are outwardly righteous, especially about them, we have negative thoughts about them, it's wrong and it's sinful. The ulama have considered this to be, it's like the backbiting of the heart. They call it ghibatul qalb. Because it's the thoughts are in the mind and we allow it. Scholars actually say that, if some bad opinion just comes about someone, just suddenly, and you didn't let it continue in your heart and you never gave it the conviction, right? It just came. That's not sinful because it was not your doing. Right, you did not intentionally allow this bad opinion to come into your heart. But once it came in, then you continue with it, you persevered with it, you gave it more strength. And even worse, you spoke about it to some people. And you considered it to be the truth, based on baseless assumptions. That is majorly sinful. It's a ghiba of the heart, ghibatul qalb. Right? It's a ghiba of the qalb. Su'ud-dhan. And many of our disputes, family problems, look in the family, between brothers and sisters and parents, children and in-laws and daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws and this-laws and that-laws or whatever. In our societies, family conflicts, family disputes are majorly a result of this cause number 8 of family disputes, which is su'ud-dhan. What is the remedy? What is the remedy? Remedy is husnul dhan, avoiding su'ud dhan. The solution is husnul dhan, good opinion. In other words, you know what it is? It's husnul dhan means giving people the benefit of doubt. Giving people the benefit of the doubt. Wallahi, that is so important in our lives, giving people benefit of the doubt. In generally, the way we deal with people. But unfortunately, our societies have become such that we don't even give any consideration. It's absolutely haram, majorly haram. It's a clear, look at the verse. Allah says, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن, avoid, صيغة الأمر is a command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and our Creator, is commanding us to avoid suspecting people and having doubts and avoiding negative thoughts and bad opinion and baseless assumptions about people and allowing conjecture to come into our hearts without any facts. Allah clearly says, this is a clear text. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one hadith, ظَنُّوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا. Have good opinion about believers. ظَنُّوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا. In another hadith he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ. Make sure you avoid opinion, which means bad opinion. فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ. فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Because having these opinions about people is probably one of the greatest of lies. It's a lie in the heart. We need to have good opinion. Even about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have good opinion. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith he said, لَا يَمُتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ. One of you should not die except that he should have a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even about Allah, our Lord and Creator. You know what this means, that we should have good opinion about our Lord and Creator? That He's merciful. He's kind. It's considerate. He will treat me well. And that's why Allah says, there's a hadith, it's called Hadith Al-Qudsi, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates from his Lord and Creator, فِيمَا يَرْوِيهِ عَنْ رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. أَنَا, Allah says, I, عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am according to the opinion, I am by the opinion of my slave of me. Wherever, another hadith says, goes on to state, that whatever the slave has an opinion of me, if he has an opinion that I will give him good, then he will get the good. If he has a bad opinion, then if he has an evil opinion about me, then he'll get evil from me. So even with Allah. But the hadith, we're talking about family members and relatives, and generally within the society, ظَنُّوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا. Have good opinion about people. We see in our societies, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, in our societies we see all these differences and disagreements and conflicts and disputes and argumentation, and especially within the family, is because of this major reason of su'ud-dhan. All of us, every person, individual, has this bad opinion, negative thought about other people. He's like this, and he's like that, and she's like this, and someone's driving a car. He's involved in a fraud, or he's cheating. Some mashallah brother bought a really nice car. There must be something wrong. He must have done something. He must have been involved in fraud, or he must have, cheated. In the beginning, we have these bad opinions. In the beginning, it's just, he may be. This guy may be like that. He may be. This person, this sister, may be. Then that may be becomes must be. He may have done it, and then it becomes he has done it, he is guilty of it. And we have yaqeen and full conviction on it, as though we saw it with our own eyes. Seriously, it's a major haram. First it's just a doubt, it's a negative thought, su'ud-dhan. And then we start believing in it in such an extent. First it's just an assumption and presumption, and then it becomes an absolute, concrete, something that has definitely been done. That's what we think. May haves becomes must have. And he may have done it becomes he must have, and he has done it. Allah says it's haram, su'ud-dhan. It's haram and it's sinful. For example, we see someone in the month of Ramadan, in the afternoon, walking out of a restaurant, right? For a split second, in the month of Ramadan, for a split second, the thought came, this guy's come out of a restaurant in Ramadan, 3 in the afternoon, p.m., right? 3 in the afternoon, p.m. Now, this thought, that split second thought came into our minds automatically, right? That's not haram, we're not sinful. But we have to try to turn our direction, our attention somewhere else. Seriously, that is what is our duty. But if we continue with it, this brother, 3 in the afternoon, you're thinking to yourself in your mind, then you're thinking, ah, yes, this person, I thought he doesn't fast. I thought this person, he tries to act all good, you know. He tries to act that he's a fasting person. But look at him, he's eating. You know, he eats, most likely, definitely, he's going to eat in that restaurant, right? And then, yes, he has definitely eaten, and he has broken his fast, and he doesn't really keep a fast, and this and that. And then you tell someone else. First, I mean, these are the, you know, if that thought, bad opinion, negative thought comes automatically, that's not sinful. But then if we start allowing this conjecture to sit in our hearts, and we start having an absolute conviction and yaqeen on it, then that becomes sinful. And it becomes even worse if we start mentioning this to other people and spreading this about him. And then it becomes even worse. Major sin. Solution is, have good opinion. Give benefit of the doubt. Now, in this case, this person came out of the restaurant in the middle of the afternoon, in the middle of Ramadan. Right? You could have thought about 100 and other excuses for him. Give him benefit of the doubt. Because you only saw him coming out of a restaurant. Maybe he just went into the restaurant to use the washroom, to the bathroom. He just went to the toilet. Maybe, or if he had some food in his hands, maybe he's just gone to collect some food for iftar. Or maybe someone's ill and sick, he's just gone to collect food for him. There's 101 different explanations, interpretations you can give. Seriously. But we don't want to do that. And that's why we have major problems in our community. You saw someone just before Salah time that he's walking away from the masjid. Maybe he's broken his wudu. Maybe he has an illness. Maybe he has a disability. Maybe he's going to another masjid. I had once a brother, he called me, right? And he mentioned about the sheikh. That this alim, this sheikh, this maulana, you know, I have certain reservations. I said, don't, whatever you do, first of all, do not mention the name. You know, because I have loads of people talking about, you know, loads of different issues. And I tackle a lot of issues. And I always tell him, look, don't mention the name to me. Because I don't want to have any negative thing about anyone, any pious person especially. But he says, look, I have certain reservations and because of which, you know, I have these thoughts in my head and my mind. And they're irritating me, they're bugging me. I said, okay, go ahead, don't mention the name. And he mentioned certain things. One of the things about this alim is I don't see him coming to, like, he comes very close to the masjid sometimes, you know, he comes just 2-3 minutes before salah. He's probably dropping off his children, but he doesn't come into the masjid and offer salah. I said, so, there could be 100 million reasons because of which he probably goes to another masjid. There are so many people who are not able to offer their salah with jama'ah because of 101 excuses. And valid, legitimate excuses. Some people have a disability, genuine disability. I know a lot of people who have a genuine disability of salasul bawl. Constant drops of urine. It's difficult for them. And Allah does not make our deen that difficult. That you just spend 3-4 hours trying to pray salah and with the jama'ah. There's so many reasons because of which you're allowed and it's justified for you not to offer salah in the masjid with jama'ah. There are so many reasons. Look at the books of hadith and the books of fiqh. They give you good 10, 12, 15 excuses. He could be involved in any of these situations. They could occur and relate to him. Have good opinions. Give benefit of the doubt. Seriously, brothers, give benefit of the doubt. Generally, in our societies, communities, give benefit of the doubt. Somebody made a statement about anything, give benefit of the doubt. Unfortunately, we are very, very hasty in basing and making our decisions and concluding our decisions and coming to conclusions. We are very hasty. We come to conclusions very, very quickly and hastily to the point that we consider people to be kafir extremely quickly. And we judge people very easily, very quickly, very hastily. And we make our decisions very quickly. Fatwas of kufr and disbelief are passed very easily. Someone said something, wait, relax. There's 101 explanations. We call people kafir very easily. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith said, من قال لأخيه أو من قال لصاحبه يا كافر فقد باء به أحدهما صحيح البخاري and صحيح مسلم. Whoever says to his fellow Muslim brother, oh kafir, if you call somebody a kafir, either he is a kafir and he is in reality, in truth, by Allah he is a non-believer, then that's fine. Otherwise it returns back to you and rebounds on you and you become a kafir. Al-kufru shayun azeem, al-takfiru shayun azeem. Considering someone to be a non-believer is a very delicate issue. The Salaf al-Salihun, the early scholars used to be extremely careful and vigilant. They would be very, very, very scared about calling somebody a kafir. And this is the reason why one of the imams of the early, scholars, I think it was Al-Imam Ibn Abidin Rahimahullah, Al-Shami, who was one of the scholars of the Syrian area, and one of the great Hanafi scholars, one of them, they call him Khatimatul Muhaqqiqin, one of the major scholars of the Hanafi school of thought, and he has a famous renowned book, Raddul Muhtar. In there, you know what he states? He states that if there is a person, listen to this carefully, if there's a human being that makes a statement, or says something, or writes something, and there are 99 interpretations of kufr, there are 99 ways in which you can interpret his statement to be a statement of kufr, a statement of disbelief. But there is one way that you can give him the benefit of the doubt. There is one interpretation out of the 100 that can be an interpretation of Islam and still being a Muslim. It is still absolutely necessary that you still consider that person to be a Muslim. Even though there were 99 ways of looking at his statement, 99 interpretations, 99 meanings of what he said, they all pointed out that he's become a kafir. But there was one way that, if you look at his statement from this angle, he could have meant this, that doesn't make him a kafir, then you must still say he's a Muslim. And that's our duty and responsibility. But we're very quick in making, in assuming things, baseless assumptions, bad opinions about people, negative thoughts without any facts. And we allow this conjecture, this one, to linger on and come into our hearts, and we give it strength, support, and then we have full yaqeen and conviction, and we speak to people. It's major haram. Family disputes are created because of this. Social conflicts are because of this. You see one Muslim, he probably doesn't like me. Why probably? Because the way he's looking at me. Or probably he prays his salah in this other masjid and I'm from this other masjid. Number one, first of all, what is this other masjid and your masjid and that masjid? All the masajid are the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a big issue. This masjid, that masjid, come on, grow up. Get out of this. All the masajid, innal masajid lillah, all the masajid of Allah. You go to one masjid, you come from this area, that area. This is just, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's just really, really, really childish. This masjid, that masjid. And that's why we should try to pray in all the masjids. I try to go anywhere and everywhere. I just move around to any masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that means that it's bringing hearts closer, alhamdulillah. Right? So, we really need to be very careful about these bad opinions about people. So yeah, you see someone, he probably thinks bad of me. And then that probably becomes, he definitely thinks bad of me. And this su'ud-dhan, major disease, having negative thoughts about people. And one of the main factors, listen to this carefully, brothers and sisters. One of the main factors that contribute to us having su'ud-dhan, having bad opinion about people, right, is that we do not look at our own faults. We do not look at our aib. We don't look at our sins. We don't think about our own sins. We need to, we need to worry about our own selves. If we start worrying about our own selves, remember, all of us are sinful. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, all human beings are sinful. The best ones are the ones who repent. We are all sinful. We all do good and bad things. Right? We are all bad. We are all the same in the same boat. We are all trying to better ourselves. We are all trying to be good. So, let us look at our own uyub. A human being who is worried about his own self or herself will not have time to think about other people and negative thoughts about other people and have baseless assumptions about other people. We won't have time. A person who has cancer of the kidney or of the stomach, will he or she have any time to start worrying about other person's headache or someone's stomachache? No. Likewise, you know, we look at our own aib, our own, and we need to have, you know, we need to really think about our own selves. We need to think that we are the worst ones and the bad people and the worst of the whole of humanity. You must have heard of the name of Shaykh Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the subcontinent. He used to have this statement. You know what he used to say? He used to say that I consider myself, he was one of the greatest scholars of the time. Passed away a good 60, 70 years ago. Shaykh Hakim al-Ummah, they used to call him the wise man of the Ummah. And the Mujaddid, authored numerous, approximately 1,000 books in Urdu, Persian and Arabic. He should say that I consider myself to be the worst from all the Muslims right now. I'm the worst. I consider all the Muslims, all the believers to be better than me at this moment in time. And I consider all the non-Muslims to also potentially, he says, halan, all the Muslims presently are better than me and all the non-Muslims are ma'alan. Potentially better than me. Because the moment if they become Muslim and they embrace Islam, without a doubt, I am far worse off than them. SubhanAllah, if he can say this, a person, if you know about Shaykh Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah, you'll realize how big statement this is, because how big the man was. If he can say that, then what about us? Where does that leave us? Where do we stand? Where do we stand? So we need to think about our own defects, our own problems, our own, you know, sins, our own deficiencies. And that will help us avoid conjecture. That will help us avoid having negative thoughts. Right? And so solution is give benefit of the doubt, brothers and sisters. Try giving benefit of the doubt. Anything anyone says or does, and we're looking at, you know, what we're looking at, family disputes. Right? We're looking at cause number 8, bad opinion, negative thoughts, baseless assumptions about people. Okay, what I'm not saying, look, I'll tell you one thing here before I go on. What I am not saying here is to just trust everybody. Listen to this carefully, brothers and sisters. We don't have too much time. Listen to this carefully. What I am not saying is to just be extremely gullible and start trusting anyone and everyone. I'm not saying that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to start doing that and then, you know, you get into problems and say, oh, you know, we heard Mufti Muhammad saying, then just don't have bad opinion. I'm not saying that. Listen to this carefully. Yes, we must be careful. We shouldn't trust everyone and anyone, given, especially in the times we're living in, where fraud, deception, cheating, lying is extremely prevalent. You be careful in terms of your deen. Especially, look at the deen. Actually, we've been commanded to be very careful about where we learn and take our deen from. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, "Inna hadha al-ilma deenun fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum." Verily, this knowledge is deen. Be very careful, be very vigilant, be very cautious from where you take your deen, whom you learn your deen from. Don't just take it from anyone who looks like a Mawlana, who looks like a Sheikh. Be very careful. Don't just take your deen from anyone and everyone. Just like we don't go to anyone who looks like a doctor. Somebody might just hold a briefcase and looks like a doctor. It's a doctor, let me ask him for some prescription. We don't do that. Likewise, Islamically, we don't take deen from anyone and everyone. We be very careful. We investigate. So, in regards to our deen, in regards to our money, in our regards to our family, I am saying you must be careful. Don't go and trust everyone and anything and everyone. Verify. Verification is permissible. That's actually fatabayyanu, the verse of the Quran. But what I am saying here is su'ul dhan is judging people negatively without any concrete without evidence. Having doubts about someone and not trusting someone is different. Brothers and sisters, listen to this carefully. Having doubts about someone and not trusting them is different from judging them negatively. In other words, there's two things here. One is having doubts about people. Just being careful, being vigilant. You go to a shop and you know, you don't think, you're not judging the shop owner or the shopkeeper, or you're not judging the customer, you're not judging someone or anything like that. You just have doubts and you just think, okay, let me just be careful here and vigilant. That's fine, that's different, that's permissible. But what is haram and not permissible is judging people negatively, having bad opinion in the hearts about people, baseless assumptions, negative thoughts, and spreading the rumors. Spreading rumors has become one of the major diseases of our communities. Spreading rumors, a major sin. And I mentioned the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ. Allah has made haram on you to say قِيلَ وَقَالَ. He said this and she said that. قِيلَ وَقَالَ. And that's why the other hadith says, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It is enough, it is sufficient for a person to be called a liar, to say and relate that which whatever he or she hears. We have this unfortunate problem in our community where rumors are spread about someone. Spreading rumors is majorly haram. You know, in order to prove that someone, for example, is guilty of fornication, subhanAllah, if you say somebody committed adultery, zina, Islamically, if you say that and you don't have evidence, you yourself will be, in an Islamic country, be flogged or given the capital punishment, haddul qadhaf, of false accusation. Really, false accusation. Islamically, you need to prove, and I won't go into the details how you need to prove this, but you need four witnesses who actually literally four witnesses saw a man and a woman literally in an unlawful, you know, interaction, unlawful sexual encounter. Clear. Even just them both going into the same car or something, none of this allows you in any way, shape or form to point fingers at them. And likewise robbing and stealing and all the other, you know, it's baseless opinions. It's haram. You can't talk negatively bad about anyone. And that causes a lot of problems in our community. I remember once I got an email from a sister, which and then I put up on my website as well, question answers, where this she said, some of my friends, sisters are accusing me of fornication, that I've committed zina. And it's not true. And these sisters considered themselves to be practicing because they wear the niqab and the hijab. And they think they're very good and they're enjoying the good and forbidding the evil and this and that. I said the sin that they've committed is far worse than even if you had committed adultery. Because they're backbiting and they're, you know, talking ill about you. Especially spreading rumors. Major sin, brothers and sisters, for the sake of Allah. Avoid spreading rumors about anyone within your family, within your household, your relatives, your relationship people, your cousins, in your community. Just avoid it. Avoid it. If someone tells you something, it's not your business. Just mind your own business. Say, look, you know what? This doesn't relate to me. It's between him and his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. That's why Allah says later on, وَلَا تَجَسَسُ. And if it's concerning the community, investigate properly, thoroughly, carefully, methodically, you know, properly. But avoid su'ud-dhan. Avoid bad opinion. Avoid baseless assumptions. Haram. And especially avoid spreading rumors. Major haram, spreading rumors. We have this, you know, major problem in our community where rumors are spread and then things are added, flavor and spices added to this news, to the story. You know, some people, Allahu Akbar, you know, Allah save us all, they love these kind of controversies. Some people thrive in some communities. They find excitement in controversies, in things happening, in problems, in when things, people don't get on with one another. And they like to cause controversies. It's very sad. It's very sad. We have been told, إِصْلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَىٰ أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَفْضَلَ مِنْ صِيَامٍ وَصَلَاةٍ وَصَدَقَةٍ. Shall I not inform you of something that is more virtuous, more rewarding than even fasting, nafil fast, and nafil prayer, and nafil charity? When the Sahaba asked, yes, go ahead, Ya Rasulullah, he said, إِصْصَلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ, making peace between people. If you find that people are having an argumentation, there's a dispute, then try to bring about peace, and bring their hearts together. It's a major act of reward. But some of us, we do the opposite. There's actually no problem, and we light the match. We just light the match, we throw the match, and we run away, which is the work of shaitan. And that's actually a shaitan, because shayateen al-ins wal-jinn, Allah says shaitan is not only the jinn shaitan. You have iblis, you have shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. Even human beings are shaitan. And this is an act of Satan, and someone who does that, it's a human shaitan. We need to bring hearts together, not cause problems and friction. Not cause problem and friction. So going back, and now trying to conclude inshallah what I've been saying. The eighth major contributor to family disputes. Su'ul dhan, suspicion, bad opinion, negative thoughts, baseless assumptions. As I said, there's two levels of this. The first level is what we call غير اختيارية, which is not in our capability, capacity. And I said, look, without our own doing, a thought, a negative thought about someone appeared and occurred and came into our hearts. We never did anything, it just came. Like the example I gave. You saw someone, for example, talking in his or her mobile phone, you know, on the corner of the road, and, you know, he looks, the way he's talking, this brother, and you know he's not married, and the way he's talking, it's all lovey-dovey type of talk, and you saw him from a distance, and he's not married, this brother. Now, just suddenly, a thought came. He's talking like this, maybe girlfriend, and then, astaghfirullah, you just said astaghfirullah, that's a solution. And actually, the solutions I'll mention to you, brothers and sisters, straight away, say astaghfirullah. Straight away, make the dhikr of Allah. Straight away, make the dhikr of Allah. Many ulama have said that we should straight away make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a great form of remedy. Right? Straight away. One remedy I've also already mentioned to you, one ilaj and remedy is that we think, so let's mention the remedies. Number one is we say astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, you know, it's really bad. Make the dhikr of Allah. Number two, straight away, start thinking about your own faults and your own aib. That's another remedy, ilaj. That, forget him, look at me, I'm so bad, and I do this and I do that, and I was late for my Fajr Salah today. You know what, I didn't even wake up for Fajr 3 days ago, and then I had to do Qadha. That's like a major sin, I'm this bad and I'm that bad. I don't talk to people properly, I'm very bad in my habits and my qualities, and may Allah. You know, we think about how sinful we are. Right? So that's a very, very, very powerful remedy to avoid suspicion. So going back to the example, you were walking and you saw this brother, and you know he's not married, and you saw him on his mobile phone. For the past 20 minutes he's walking up and down, he's talking on his mobile, and that's a bad opinion came to the head. And then straight away, this is what we need to do. Make the dhikr of Allah, remember Allah. Allah, I don't want these negative thoughts. Say astaghfirullah, and then think about how bad you are. That you will not be sinful, you'll be rewarded. Allah will reward you, you will get Jannah, brother, because of this. Seriously, you will get Jannah. You will earn the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's not sinful. But if you did the opposite, which is the second level, which is ikhtiyariya, now it's in your hands. You have power. It's in your capability. It's in your ability. It's within your control. You allowed it. You allowed this conjecture, this assumption, this presumption, this thought, this idea to carry on lingering into your heart. And you gave it more strength. You endorsed it. You supported it. You thought, definitely, I thought so. You know, he's still not married. And I knew he had a girlfriend all along. And I knew he's into, you know. And then you thought, yeah, I remember that time this brother, he had a, you know, he was very, very particular about his phone. And he was texting away. And now it all makes sense. And all this adds up one at one. All right. Okay, I remember that time. Okay, that's what he was doing the other time when he had to quickly go somewhere. And somebody called him. And okay, this and that. حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Sins after sins, haram after haram, and becomes even worse when you get to the level 3. Remember, first level is not sinful. That was the second level, when all these thoughts you're giving support in your idea, that's sinful. It's still in your heart. And level 3, when it becomes even worse. So level 2 was ghibatul qalb. You are doing ghiba in the heart, making all these things in the heart. And level 3, which was even worse, is when you actually told someone, I mean, you tell someone, and you actually speak to someone, oh, you know what, he's got a girlfriend, and you know what, he's involved in an unlawful relationship. That's even worse, and that's major haram. So really, brothers and sisters, avoid su'ud dhan, avoid suspicion, even in family matters. our disputes, many of our problems. Because what happens? Because when we start having these thoughts, then we deal with people in a different way. We tell someone something about someone, then that causes the other person to become upset. And then that that results in argumentation and fights and quarrels and disputes. Right? And eventually it'll just break hearts and it will eventually break relationships. So therefore, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to avoid su'udhan. May Allah enable all of us to avoid bad opinion and suspicion about people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to have husnul dhan, have good opinion always with Allah and with all the believers, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability, the tawfiq, to act upon what is being said, inshallah. And I pray to Allah that He gives me the tawfiq and me the ability first and foremost to act upon and practice on all these guidelines that we are discussing, and that we avoid family disputes and we avoid disputes full stop. Inshallah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. Wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Jazakallah khair for listening, brothers and sisters. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallama ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.